My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner. She is the president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. Our regular listeners will know that just a couple of weeks ago, Grace Marie informed us about an important decision coming from a three-judge panel on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. The case is Halbig versus Burwell, and she was optimistic that at least two of the three judges would rule that the Affordable Care Act makes it very clear that subsidies can only be obtained by health plans purchased on state exchanges. But 36 states have refused to do that, and so the vast majority of Americans are getting their plans, if they get it on an exchange, through the federal exchange. Well, Grace Marie's prediction came exactly true on Tuesday by a 2-1 decision. The court ruled that the language was clear and that subsidies obtained through the federal exchange are, in fact, illegal. It will, of course, be appealed. And Grace Marie, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, it's always a pleasure to be with you. I apologize for the background noise in advance. I'm traveling, but this decision is too important for us to wait to have a conversation.
What do you make of this decision? Obviously, it's one that you were cautiously optimistic would happen, but how significant is this?
Greg, this is a hugely important decision. The government has now lost a case that really addresses the heart and core, heart and soul of what this law is supposed to do. Certainly, Medicaid expansion was an important part, but the Supreme Court ruled that the federal government could not coerce states into expanding their Medicaid programs. And now, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, which is the most influential Circuit Court of Appeals, has said that the Obama administration seriously overstepped its legal authority in allowing subsidies to be issued, distributed through the exchange established by the federal government. Because 36 states, as you said, did not create their own exchanges, they relied on the federal government's troubled healthcare.gov website. But the law specifically says at least 7 times that the subsidies are only allowed through an exchange established by a state. It was part of Congress's coercion to try to get the states to set up their own exchanges. Well, they didn't do it, and the law does not allow these subsidies. So by a 2-1 decision, Judge Griffin ruled, and Judge, I believe it's Roberts, ruled that the federal government overstepped its authority. Now what this means is that about 4.5 million people who are getting subsidies through the federal exchanges are not getting them legally. 87% of the people signing up for health insurance in the exchanges are getting subsidies, some of them significant subsidies of $12,000 to $14,000. Those are not legal in the healthcare.gov website.
To no one's surprise, Grace Marie, the administration is planning on appealing this to the full D.C. Circuit. But given the decision by the three-judge panel, is it pretty much a guarantee now that the full D.C. Circuit is just a stepping stone to the Supreme Court? And while obviously you would like to win at the full D.C. Circuit as well, that ultimately this is going to come down to the 9 top justices?
Well, actually, there are two issues here, Greg. First of all, it's called an in-bank hearing, and that's very rare because the judges really respect each other. They don't want to overrule one another. Although, because the federal government, the Obama administration has basically been stacking this court with several new appointees, they very likely would have the votes to overrule this three-judge panel. But it would look very, very political and would likely discredit future decisions. So I think they're going to have to think long and hard about whether or not they do that. It is very rare, less than 1% of the time, do defendants wind up being able, the person who loses a case, wind up losing, getting this in-bank hearing. So I think there's still less than a 50-50 chance, even in this court, that happens. But it is consequential because we need, in order for this to go to the Supreme Court, you would then have to have different rulings in the different appeals courts. There are 4 similar cases going through 3 others and this one going through the courts. And so you'd have to have another court decide, the same as the D.C. Circuit Court panel has today, that the subsidies are illegal for the Supreme Court to hear it. If there are no conflicts in the appeals court's decisions in these various cases, then the Supreme Court would less likely take it up.
Also, from the Associated Press, the administration saying that health care subsidies will keep flowing despite the court decision. Is that standard staying of the decision while it works its way up the chain of the courts? Or is that the administration reading its own temporary policy as into this decision?
I have to read the decision, 72 pages, and I'm about halfway through reading it. I'll have to see whether or not they themselves issued an injunction so that it could continue to go through the courts before they basically pull the plug on all of these subsidies. We'll have to determine that. But they basically signaled in an earlier court argument that they, even if the court came down against them, they were basically going to ignore it, especially for the other parts of the country, because basically this D.C. Circuit Court only applies to the jurisdiction of basically the mid-Atlantic states. But the history is that if one court, if a defendant it loses in one appeals court, the other jurisdictions respect that. So we've got continuing legal battles over this, but it just shows, Greg, the law was so poorly written. And we'll never know whether or not this was just a sloppy draftsmanship, which certainly is prevalent throughout the law, or whether or not they really used this as an attempt to coerce the states into setting up their own exchanges, because the federal government did not want to have to do this. And in fact, when the Congressional Budget Office did its cost estimates, they assumed that every state would set up its own exchange. So I think they thought the coercion would work, and the states basically called their bluff and said, nope, we're not doing this. And so when the law says seven times the subsidy, the tax credits for health insurance can only be distributed through an exchange created by a state, the court says the law must mean what it says, and we're going to rule that way. So congratulations to them for upholding the rule of law.
Last question real quick, and you addressed this to some extent in your first response, Grace Marie, but let's say this decision is upheld, whether it's the full appeals court or ultimately it's the Supreme Court. Either way, if it's upheld, walk me through what this means for someone who, as of right now, is forced to buy health insurance. It's required by federal law, yet they would not have the subsidies.
That is ultimately the bottom line, is what happens to average Americans. And remember, of course, about 4 or 5 million people were thrown out of their health insurance coverage because it didn't comply with Obamacare's rules. So they were basically forced into the exchanges as the only place that they were able to buy coverage. And as I said, most of them are getting subsidies. I believe that Congress would then have to go back to the drawing board, and I think that people who oppose this law all along would actually have more bargaining power now to be able to move to a place where we can actually get subsidies that are structured the right way. Not this mother may I 159 new government boards, regulations, and rules and commissions and boards that are basically running our health sector. So conservatives would have a lot more bargaining power. We've all supported health reform all along. We just want to do it the right way. And if the Supreme Court were to rule as the D.C. Court of Appeals has today, then that would force Congress to go back to the drawing board, because they're not going to leave the millions of people who've been thrown out of their coverage out in the cold. They're going to try to figure out how to come up with a better solution, but one that gives people and doctors' choices, not government bureaucrats and politicians.
Grace Marie, we'll be watching. I know you will as well. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner is president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.